Okay, so we're in the middle of the sugya of whether Kriya Shema is Da'oraisa or Drabanan. Just to keep everything organized, we started off with the first mahalach, right, the less, you know, less normative mahalach, which is Kriya Shema means Drabanan. That was mahalach number one. We saw a couple of Gemaras, a couple of Rishonim. That was mahalach number one. Mahalach number two, which is really the normative mainstream mahalach, la'alacha, which is that Kriya Shema is Mida'oraisa. We'll call that mahalach number two. But within this normative mainstream mahalach, number two, that Kriya Shema is Da'oraisa, we're going to see, you know, we call sub-mahalachim, right? Various different versions of this Kriya Shema Da'oraisa approach in terms of what is the shiur of the mitzvah Da'oraisa. As we're talking about in Seder with, you know, Boaz, right? If Kriya Shema is Drabanan, then we know that bottom line, the Chachamim require us to read all three parshios. So according to the first mahalach, that Kriya Shema is Drabanan, of course, the shiur of the mitzvah Drabanan is all three parshios. That part's clear. But since we know the bottom line is that we're supposed to read all three parshios, but if you think that the mitzvah is Da'oraisa, you still have an open question, which is how much of those three parshios is Da'oraisa and how much of it is Midrabanan. So we're going to, in the middle of seeing, there's a whole range of shitos within the second mahalach, the Kriya Shema is Midrabanan, in terms of what is the shear of the mitzvah d'oraisa. So the first version, we'll call it 2A, was that only pasuk rishon was d'oraisa. That's what we saw yesterday. That works very nicely with the mahalach kabbalas olmach shemayim, because kabbalas olmach shemayim is all about, is captured in that first pasuk of Shema Yisrael. The second version, we'll call it 2B, if you will, is that we're going to, we started yesterday, which is not only the first pasuk, but what's the next step? The first Parsha Rishona. So yesterday we started with the analysis, right? Why would you include, right, the entire first Parsha? So we pointed out based on the Rambam that the themes in the first Parsha is that not only do you have Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim in the first Pasuk, you then have the theme of Avas Hashem in the second Pasuk, and then the theme of Talmud Torah, right, in the third Pasuk. So we pointed out within the Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim approach. So you're going to say that, oh, if the whole mitzvah is Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim, so then why not stop after the first pasuk? So we pointed out that we saw evidence, the idea that Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim is not just limited to, oh, belief in Yichud Hashem or belief in God. It also includes the next step, which is the responsibilities that we have, right, which flow from that belief. So according to this mahalach that includes Parsha Rishona, the way we said it, is that therefore, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema is going to include the responsibility that we have to develop a relationship with Hashem. Right? And therefore, you're going to say that Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim is not just the requirement to believe, that's the first pasuk Shema Yisrael, but it's also the responsibility to therefore then develop a relationship with Hashem as captured by Avas Hashem, which is clearly that relationship, right? That relationship of loving Hashem and therefore and then also the Talmud Torah pasuk, which is the other part of the Parsha Rishona, which again is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is all about developing that relationship with Hashem through getting to know Hashem through the Torah. So again, that's the analysis of why you would pick the entire first parsha, because you're saying Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim is not just the belief, but it's then the responsibility to develop that relationship, and that would therefore include the entire first parsha, not only Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim, but also the Avas Hashem and the Talmud Torah, which is all about that relationship. Fine, that's the analysis. Now let's get to the concrete, you know, makoros, which prove this idea that the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema includes not only the first pasuk, but also the entire first parsha. So who is the prominent Rishon who accepts this mahalach? That's the first parsha? Rashi. So we're going to see Shitas Rashi in several, in a couple of places, seems to highlight this idea. So the first Rashi is one of the most famous Rashis. Can say in Shas, because the first most important Rashi in Shas is Dimur Maschal Atzof HaShemura HaRishona. So Rashi here is commenting on the issue of Zman Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So again, the Mishnah here is both saying that the Tchilas Zman Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is what? What's the earliest time Midaraisa that you could say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? Sezer Kochavim, excellent. And the Mishnah here is also dealing with Sof Zman. But for our purposes, the key is the Tchilas Zman. So if you look at, anyone have the Rashi open? You got Eliyahu? So you see Rashi Dimatzva at Sofar Shmur Harishona. Yeah. Just goes three lines down. It says Umikame Hachi.
And
meaning before this man of Tzis. See the third line there, Rashi? The first words? Yeah. See the Umikame Hachi Nami.
Umikame Hachi before Tzis. Nami loves Zman Shchiva. That's
right. Exactly. It's not the Zman of Shchiva, which is not the Zman of Kriyat Shema. So Rashi said, therefore, if you end up reciting Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis before that Zman, you're not going to be Yotze the Chiyav de Oraisa. So it tells Rashi has to ask. Right, the minhag, the time of the Rishonim, was that people would daven like Mincha Mariv, as we call it now, which means you're davening Mariv right after Shkia, but before Tzis. So Rashi asks, if I just said that you're not Yotze, if you recite Kriyat Shema before Tzis, so then why are we reciting Kriyat Shema as part of Mariv, which is davened before Tzis? So, right, Hakitanya Brisa. So he quotes the Yerushalmi that there has to be some alternative value, right? It's not, you're not being Mekayim the Mitzvah, it's rather this alternative value to have this introduction of Talmud Torah before you get to Tzvila. Fine, now the key is Lefichach. But again, in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'orais of Kriyat Shema, you have to repeat it after Tzeis. Now this is the key line for our purposes. Oh, so what does Rashi say? And you're basically implicitly asking on himself, oh, you don't repeat all three parshios before you go to bed? Answer is, says Rashi, ubikriyas parsha rishona suffices. So Rashi explicitly says here that when you recite the Parsha Rishona Alamita, that suffices. And if you're going to ask, oh, you still don't know for sure from this Rashi, maybe it's still Pasuk Rishon, but the Minog, which is to recite Parsha Rishona, includes Pasuk Rishon, is that what you're going to say? Okay, very good. So right, so based on this Rashi alone, you don't necessarily know that Parsha Rishona or Pasuk Rishon, but what you do know is that you don't need the second Parsha and the third Parsha. So we're going to see another Rashi, which is going to pin down that really Shita's Rashi is Parsha Rishona. But you're right, all you know from this Rashi is that it precludes the options of Shtei Parshios and all three Parshios. But you don't know from this Rashi alone, is it the entire Parsha Rishona Deraisa, or is it only Pasuk Rishona? And Rashi is just saying, once the Minog was to recite the Parsha Rishona, that includes Pasuk Rishona. 100%. We're going to see from another Rashi that that Shitas Rashi is Parsha Rishona. Oh, but let's see now. Tosos is going to ask on Rashi. So there's again a very famous Tosos. Mayor, would you mind?
Sure.
So first Tosos, Dimaskal Me'emasai, quotes Rashi. Then you see like three skinny lines down. It says Tema Lepirusha.
Yeah. So Tema Lepirusha. Velo in Olam Regilin Lekos Soma Peshtiva Ela Parsha Rishona. They're only going to say the first Parsha of the Imkane.
Exactly. So Tosos clearly is bothered by Rashi. What do you mean that one Parsha is going to suffice? Don't you need to read all three Parshios? So we're going to get back to this. Obviously, Shitas Tosos is that all three Parshios are Daraisa. And therefore, he's asking in Rashi, why is one Parsha going to suffice? So which Rishon explicitly explains Rashi and defends Rashi from this Kasha? The Rashba. Right? So the Rashba, again, on Beza Min Aleph. Again, in the middle of a long piece, but in the beginning of the paragraph of the Hikshim Tosfos, but how do you see only a part of that? Another Rashba accessible. Right, the key line is our Umash in Anukorin. See the Yisrael David? Probably like, you know, halfway through what I have. How do you see Umash in Anukorin El Parsha Rishona? The next line, if you don't mind, that's a different kasha. Oh, that's the answer, right? No, because mipnei shehi shel Torah, because parsha rishona is da oraisa. Exactly. Yes, there is a chiyuv to read the rest of Shema Midrabanan, The Chacham said that it suffices what you read, you know, before it says. So the Rashbi here, seemingly Bedas Rashi, is saying, don't worry about Tosas' Kasha and Rashi, because Shitas Rashi is that Parsha Rishona is Daraisa, and therefore only repeating Parsha Rishona before you go to bed is going to suffice. So some of the Chavra asked the other day, Ben and Ezra, right? What do you mean Shitas, the Rashba we know from yesterday, both in Teshuvos and in Chidushim, holds that Pasuk Rishon is Daraisa, but yet here he seems to be saying Parsha Rishona. So I think the answer is that here he's working Bedas Rashi. Right? Here, right, the Rashba Shita himself is Pasuk Rishon. Here he's specifically defending Rashi from Tosas' Kasha, and therefore Bedas Rashi, he says Parsha Rishona. So I think that resolves the stira in the Rashba. So again, it seems like the Rashba is learning Bedas Rashi. Again, that Parsha Rishona suffices Mida Oraisa. But as we pointed out, although the Rashba seems to learn Bidas, even this Rashi is Parsha Rishona, again, as Elio was saying, you don't know necessarily from this Rashi that it is Parsha Rishona. You could have said based on Rashi not based, that it is Pasuk Rishona, and therefore when reading Parsha Rishona, right, Bechlal Masayimana, obviously you said Pasuk Rishona. But it's another Rashi, which seems to prove that the Mitzvah Daraisa is not limited to Pasuk Rishon. Where's that other Rashi? Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Again, what's the context? Alicia, what's the context of the Rashi on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph? What? Close. It's the Dirmas of Midvarim. Exactly. Korin Lamafrayim. Right? It's the Drasha Midoraisa. Very important. Coming from the word Vahayu, that you can't be Kore Lamafrayim. So it's very important. So Rashi here in Dirmas, right? Midvarim Advarim is explaining, right? The Drasha Midoraisa. And the psul that emerges from it of Korin Lemafrayim. So let's pay careful attention to Rashi and Zirmazel Midvarim Hadvar. Go for Alicia.
The Havle Lemechtav Yuadvarim Ha'ela, Lemedrash Sheyikra Hadvarim Kisidran, Lo Lemafrayim.
Right, so again, the Drush, right, the Drush, because it could have said, Vahyu Dvarim Ha'ela. But what does it say instead? Vahyu Ha'dvarim Ha'ela. So again, the other Drusha, right, either you learn the psul of Korin Lemafrayim from Vahyu, or you learn it, I think the Rabbanan learn it from the extra hay. So, right, the Midrash to tell you that you can't, you have to read a kaseh there and not Lemafrayah. But now the key raya is from Rashi's example. What's Rashi's example of this psul de oraisa of Korin Lemafrayah? Kigon. Right? The pasuk at the end of Parsha, Rishon of Uksavtem al Mezuzos Pesacha Visharacha. So Rashi here, when describing the psul de oraisa of Korin Lemafrayah, doesn't give an example from the first pasuk. Rashi rather gives an example from the end of Parsha Rishona, again highlighting that Rashi Lishitaso holds that Parsha Rishona is de oraisa. So based on this Rashi and Yud Gimel, right, Gala Lemafrayah, no pun intended, right, that Rashi and Dav Beis, right, is also holding that Parsha Rishona is the Oraisa, and that's what he meant when he said, as long as you're Korea, Parsha Rishona, you are Yotze. So this Ha'ara, that, right, when you're talking about the Drasha of Korea Lemafreya, right, Mida Oraisa, right, that if Pasuk Rishon, that if the Mitzvah Oraisa was limited to Pasuk Rishon, that therefore the Psul Oraisa would have to be limited to that Pasuk, who spells that out? Which the Bir Halach, right? So the Bir Halach in Samach Dalid, right? Aleph, right? Has the Sa'ara. So again, if anyone has it, this is the Bir Halacha in Simon Samach Dalid, if Aleph. Dear Masal Bamed Dvarim Amurim. Ezra, do you have the Bir Halacha?
Yeah.
So you see, like halfway through, the Dear Masal Bamed Dvarim Amurim says, Ulefize. Like three or four lines down is Lufi Ze Imno. So here the Bir Halacha spelling out this Ha'ara, that if you thought the Mitzvah D'Oraisa was limited to Pasuk Rishon, so then the Psul D'Oraisa of Korei L'Mafreya, which must be talking about the Mitzvah D'Oraisa, would only apply to the words of the first Pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So if you put that together, therefore Rashi, if you put that Ha'aretz together with Rashi and Yud Gimel, Rashi and Yud Gimel, who gives an example of the Psul Da'oraisa from the end of Parsha Rishona, right, it's clear that Rashi holds that the mitzvah Da'oraisa of Krishma is not limited to Pasuk Rishon, it includes Parsha Rishona. But again, it's funny. If you, Eliyahu's Ha'ara in the opposite direction, if you only had the Rashi and Yud Gimel, right, you would know that the mitzvah d'oraisa is not limited to pasuk rishon, but you wouldn't know that it stops at parsha rishona, right? Because all you know, you have an example from the end of parsha rishona. Maybe hua dinami, you could have given an example from the second parsha or the third parsha. But where do you, from which Rashi do you see that it doesn't go, that the mitzvah d'oraisa doesn't go past parsha rishona? Daf Beis, exactly. So Daf Beis and Daf Yud Gimel, each one, right, narrows it down. If you combine them together, you see clear as Shitas Rashi is Parsha Rishona. So from Rashi and Daf Beis and Aleph, you know that it's not more than Parsha Rishona, but you don't know whether it's Daf Kapasik Rishona or the entire Parsha Rishona. From Rashi and Yud Gimel and Aleph, you know that it's not limited to Pasuk Rishon. You know, it also includes Parsha Rishona. So if you put the two together, Shitas Rashi is beautiful. It is Parsha Rishona. Good. But Rashi is not the only Rishon who says this idea that the entire Parsha Rishona is part of the Mitzvah Daraisa. Which other Rishon adopts this version that it's Parsha Rishona Daraisa, the rest is Derabanan? Remember which other Rishon holds a Parsha Rishona? It's Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Tes B'Dav Erif. So let's look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Actually, before you go to the Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Tes, there are two makoros he's working off of. One of them is the Gemara in Yud Gimel Beis. Let's just look at that Gemara inside. So again, this is the Gemara in Yud Gimel Beis, which you can tell is a very, very... The Gemara in Yud Gimel Beis is chock full of important, you know, pieces to the sugya of Kriya Shema Deraisa Rabbanan. So for now, let's look at the whole idea of the requirements of Kriya and Kavana versus just Kriya versus just Kavana. The Machlokes is in Rav Zutra and Rav Yoshia. Anyone have the Gemara Yud Gimel Amud Beis? You got it? Okay, Gabriel. So you see Aleph Avecha. So it's like 10 lines down from the top. First words on the Aleph Avecha. You know, a little above that.
Rav Zutra.
Right, Aleph Avecha Rav Zitra Omer.
Oh, okay. Aleph Avecha Rav Zitra Omer ad times is Kavana. Up until that point of Aleph Avecha, you have to Kavana in your life. You can't be able to create each other three.
Oh, so it's actually interesting. You could have said that, but Rashi explains, based on the continuation of the Shachar Zohar, that what does ad kan in this context mean? Ad kan means Parsha Rishona. If you look at Rashi, ad kan. It is in Rav Yoshia, but Rav Yoshia ad kan Perik Rishon. And that also applies to Rav Zitra. So in this kind, right, you're right, you're probably thinking of Rav Eliezer on Amud Aleph, that, you know, yeah, that means the first two psukim. But in this context, as we'll see from Rabbeinu Yonah, right, that Ankan means, that Rav Zitra says, that Ankan Parsha Rishona requires Kavana, Mikan Ve'elach is Mitzvah's Kriya. From the Hemshach of the Drashas. Because the chiluk, the drashas are all about Parsha Rishona versus Parsha Shnia. We'll see from the Shachar Vitaria. And the Rav Yoshia Omer,
Ad Kan Mitzvahs Kriya, Mikan Ve'elach Mitzvahs Kriya. From that point on, that's the new.
Right, so according to Rav Yoshia, he flips it, that the first Parsha is Mitzvah of Kriya, the second Parsha, and onwards, is Mitzvahs Kavana. So Gemara is going to analyze.
Okay, within the Zutra, Mikan Ve'elach Mitzvahs Kriya, why do we need Kriya from that point on? Let's say Vladavar Bam. At that point, she's talking about speaking.
Right, so you see this? It's all about, if it's because, oh, there's an emphasis in the second Parsha on Dibur, you have an emphasis on the first Parsha also about Dibur. So we now clarify what did Rav Yoshia, or what did Rav Zitra really mean? Oh, so right, Mar Zitra, exactly. Exactly. Just skip a little bit. Basically, this is the same type of Shach Vataria, that what comes out is that according to Rav Zitra, Parsha Rishona, right? Gemara Ilamaskana says Rav Zitra and Rav Yoshia both agree that Parsha Rishona requires Kavana and Kriya, and they only argue about what is required for the second Parsha. Rav Zitra says second parsha is just kriya, no kavana. Rav Yoshia says second parsha is kavana, not kriya. Fine. But, so again, this is the first raya that the Rabbi Yonah is going to bring to this chiluk between parsha Rishona and parsha Shnia. Yeah. So again, we didn't do the maskana. I should probably just say that they both end up saying that in the second parsha, right, that the drasha at the end is either talking about tefillin or it's talking about Talmud Torah, right? Who would be different Torah ksiv?
They both agree that according to what it says in the Al-Lubavka, you need to have
Kavanah
for that part. That's
the Dorasa,
right?
So they're going to understand that that's the Dorabana. Okay. Yeah, that's what we'll see Rabbeinu Yonah right now. So Rabbeinu now turns to Rabbeinu Yonah. This is Daf Tes, Daf Yarif. So again, so the first right that Rabbeinu Yonah is going to come off of, that this is that there exists this chilek between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia. First right is that Gemara and Yugim on Beis, right? The whole Kriya versus Kavanah. And the other right comes from the Rif, again on Daf Tes, Amin Aleph, Bidap Yarif. So again, in Oz V'Hodr version, it's Amud Chav Gimel. Again, in the old version, it's Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Bidap Erif. So again, the Rif here is also going to have this chilek between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia. Gabriel, do you have it? Romulay?
Yeah. Romulay Rav Mari Bra Devas Shmuel Barabba. Tan Ha'unin Kor Barosha Ilan Barosha Hanidavka. The workers can reach on top of an elan on top of a dafka. What is that?
Yeah, whatever. Okay. It is. Yeah, bush or something.
Remember the low being a command. Does that say that they don't need command?
Right. So obviously, if you're able to read it up there, you're going to be nervous about falling. So obviously, you don't require command. No.
But we're meaning Rishima and Yehuda. Hakovei Shema Sarach Shekavus Libo. Oh. Shema Yisrael.
It's just a theory. Do you need kavanah? Do you not need kavanah? So at first, says Ishtek, you didn't know the answer. Right? New? Have you heard anything about this? Exactly. So Rav Yochanan says you can't read Kriya Shema while doing malacha. By Vatanya. That you can do malacha while reading Kriya Shema. Oh, here's the key. Oh, so here you have the riff giving a chilek between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia. And then the riff continues. Right, this chilek, right, at first class they were saying, oh, there's a chilek in Kavana between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia. Then the riff says,
this chilek is only with Rav Yochanan holds that you need Kavana for the first time.
Who? Oh, Sindri points out, even if you limit Kavana to Pasuk Rishon, right, there's still this value of not reading the Parsha Rishona Bederech Arai, which we'll get back to later. So again, so the Rif has this chiluk, right, to resolve all these stiras between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia, either a chiluk in terms of kavana, or a chiluk in terms of this psul of derech arai. But again, and the Rabbeinu Yonah is going to point out from this that these chilukim, both in the Gemara and Yigimel and Beis, and the Rif here is all a difference, is all a chiluk between Da'araisa and Dirabanan. So let's see Rabbeinu Yonah in the Oz V'Hadr, it's a separate paragraph. Umitoch mashkas of a Rif. Anyone see that in the Oz V'Hadr? It's in the bottom. You see, Gabriel? Does it go for it? Oh, that's right. The Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining what's this chiluk between Parsha Rishona and Parsha Shnia. The chiluk is between the Oraisa and the Rabbanan. I de Isa de Humina Torah, because. Right. Exactly. Why would you have a chiluk between Parsha Rishon and Parsha Shnia about this din of Arai, if not for the fact that there's a chiluk between the Araisa and the Rabbanan? And then he says, then he brings a raya from the Gemara on Yigimel and Beis that we just read. So again, the Rabbeinu Yonah has two rayos to this chiluk between Parak Rishon and Parak Shani. Number one is the Rif. I should say the opposite. Number one is the Gemara on Yigimel and Beis. Number two is the Rif. Yeah, all right.
Could one say that even if both parshios are Da'araisa, but since the first one is Kabbalah's Al-Malkus Shemayim, that you can't do with Daraharai.
So Madan, that even if...
Even if you can both be Daraisa, but the first one still is a higher level because it's Kavala Kamal.
Okay, interesting. Fine, Rabbi Yonah is sort of going to say that for his chilek between Kavana and Arai. But that construct where he's going to say, that within this piece, that the entire Parsha Rishona is Da'araisa, and therefore the entire Parsha Rishona can't be Arai, but he admits, according to Halacha, that you only need Kavana for the first Pasuk. So he says, the Chilek is, oh, because the Kavana is a din in Kabbalah's Olmach HaShemayim, but Arai is a din in Da'araisa. So you want to say that same type of construct, but like draw the lines in different places. So theoretically you could have said that, but Rabbi Yonah doesn't say that here. Good. So Rabbi Yonah at the end of the piece also repeats this, but really this suffices for now. So again, so for this call, right, version 2b, right, 2a was as Pasuk Rishon, 2b is that the Daraisa is Parsha Rishon. Now we have Rashi, both in Beis and Aleph, Rashi and Yigimah and Aleph. Number, the second Raya is this Rabbi Yonah, Daf Tes, B'Dapi Arif, again bringing a Raya both from the Gemara on Yigimah and Beis, and from the Rif there on Tes Amin Aleph. Oh. But there's also an Achron who believes in this chilek between Parsha Rishona and the rest. Who is that prominent Achron? Exactly. Thank you, Ariel. The Shagas Aryeh, again, Ba'arichus, adopts this Shita that the chilek between Daraisa and Darabanan is between Parsha Rishona and the rest of Shema. So Shayas Aryeh is on the Marmukam sheet. Let's at least look at a little bit, and we'll look at two of his rayos. Ariel, do you have it? Do you mind? Yeah. So Shayas Aryeh again and Simon Beis, go for it from the top.
Achashin's bar b'simah hektim to kriyas Shema deraisa.
That was the first Simon that we saw, you know, in earlier shiurim. Is after I established that kriyas Shema deraisa.
Right,
it brings almost all the options, basically. So once it's Daraisa, you still don't know, ask the Shagas Aryeh, what's the shear of the Daraisa? Is it two partials? Is it one partial? Or is it one pasuk? He happens to leave out, there's a fourth option that all three partials are meeting Kriya Shema, but we'll get to that later. Tomorrow, I think. Oh, so what does he say? Umashin Yerali Bezeh.
Umashin Yerali Bezeh, who the Kriyash Parsha Shema Kula Havim in the Torah. Those Hagi Pasuk Rishon Shal Shema Yishel Aval Parsha Vayam Shema in Elam Adarban.
So right off the bat, he tells you, my opinion is that the entire first Parsha is the Oraisa. Right? It's not limited to Pasuk Rishon. It's the entire first Parsha. But the second Parsha of Ahayam Shema, that is Midrabban. And what's his... He's going to bring two big rayas. The first raya is going to be from the Gemara in Yudalid, Amud Aleph, in terms of the whole hefsek. Let's see what the raya is.
V'yish lavi raya dechol parsha shema havi min haTorah v'lo sagi pasuk shema Yisrael l'chod v'adam b'reish berak havikayakori b'ayimine achi tana t'berak v'chiyam v'chiyam v'halam m'gel ma'u sheyifzal kolomer l'shil ha'shalom me'kavad v'hayira k'derek shemafzik in l'kriyashma k'tan ha'asam.
So that's basically the Gemara. The Gemara asks, right, can it be Mafsik by Hallel and Megillah, and brings a Raya from Kriya Shema to Oraisa. Now this is Raya. V'i Salka Daita,
the Kriya Shema to Oraisa, Eina Ela Pasuk Rishon Shal Shema Yisrael, L'chud, Habdi Dei, Eina Rishai L'Hafsik, Lo Pnei Yira, Kugon Aviv O'Rabba, V'lo Pnei Akavod, Im Lo Pnei Shehu Yirin Menu, Shami Yargenu.
Exactly. So he says, if, right, in a world where the only Kriya Shema Daraisa is Pasuk Rishon, so then the Gemara there, which is referencing Kriya Shema Daraisa, would be talking about Pasuk Rishon. But the only time you can be Mapsik within Pasuk Rishon is Pikuach Nefesh. And it's about Milsa de Pshita. No, Shaila, of course you can be Mafsik for Halal and Megillah by Pikuach Nefesh. So obviously, that's not what the Gemara, right? The Gemara, which is talking about Kriya Shema Daraisa and Hefsik, is not limited to within Pasuk Rishon, because he's about to prove, because you can only be Mafsik for Pasuk Rishon by Pikuach Nefesh, and that's obviously not what the Gemara is talking about. So let's just skip to the fifth line. He says right after the period is third word is umidka amar
kriyash ma daraisa posik akon
akorcha
ashara
kai. It's on the rest of the parsha.
Chutz mi pasuk shema Yisrael mishma mina de hashar nami havim daraisa.
She says, from there, you prove from there that the Kriya Shema Doraisa is not limited to the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, because if we're talking about a Hefsik, which is of the non-Pikuach Nefesh variety, it can't be limited to Shema. She says, oh, it must be including at least the first Parsha. Again, he doesn't prove from there that it doesn't also include the second Parsha, but he's going to prove from that elsewhere. So again, it's Raya number one, that it's not limited to Pasuk Rishon, is the Gemara on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Now let's see the second Raya, that it includes the first Parsha. You see, Odnirali, how do I, Odnirali Lahavi Raya, the last word on the line is Kula.
Yeah.
So if everyone sees, it's like, you know, six or seven words from the end of the line. And the last word of the line is Kula. So right before that, it says Od Nirali. So this is the Raya he's going to bring from the Sugya on Yud Gimel.
Od Nirali Lahavi Raya de Parsha Shema Kula Havi Minatar the Tanya Rosh Perek Havi Korei Hadvar Malavecha Yachol Yehe Kola Parsha Sri Kavana Tamalu Marayla. I can't speak Kavana. You can't veil like answer. You need to speak Kavana.
Divrei Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar, right, is of the shita that you only need Kavana for the first two psukim because there is a drasha of ha'ela, meaning there was a ha, what was the havamina? The havamina is that what would require Kavana? The entire first parsha. So that's the deal, right? Havamina Rabbi Elazar, the entire first parsha which would require Kavana. Oh, you need a drasha to tell you dafka the first few psukim. That's right. Number one, we'll see. And Amar Le Rav Akiva, Hari Hu Omer. See Amar Le Rav Akiva.
Amar Le Rav Akiva. Amar Le Akiva. Hari Omer. Hashem Anochim Yisavcha Yom Al Vecham Yikana Asalom Eid Shekol Par Shekol Asviyuk Kamana. Okay, she told us was the Yalach La De Ik the Kamart. Have like the mechtav asher tzivizichal the mis the
asher tzivizichal. Right? How do you see this? Tosos. Tosos. What's the basis of Akiva's diuk? It's the word Mitzavacha, right? Mitzavacha sounds Mikana Laba. If it was just Ha'ela referring to the past Psukim, it should have said Ashet Sidi Sicha Lashon Avar. So Mitzavacha Mashma.
I feel Mikan Velech,
Adka. And now he's going to spell out the Raya. Umiditzarech Ha'ela.
The Rabbi Azar, Limute Mikabana Mikan Velech, the Rabbi Kiva Shina Krell Mechtav, Shainoki Mitzavacha Yom, the Kola Parsha Sarah Kavana.
Okay, very good. So again, so the Shagas Aryeh's second Raya is from that, you know, Machlokas to Rav Elazar and Rabbi Akiva in terms of the Shi'ur of Kavana, from the Maskana of Rabbi Akiva, who says the entire first Parsha requires Kavana, and at least from the Havamina of Rav Elazar, that he needed a drasha to tell you that not the entire Parsha Rishona requires Kavana. It emerges from both of those Shitos that, right, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema is not limited to Pasuk Rishon, but includes the entire first parsha. So again, so Adkan, right, this version. So we have Rashi, we had Rabbeinu Yonah, at least on Daf Tes, and the Shagas Aryeh, all saying that the Shir d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema is Parsha Rishona. And we pointed out, what's special about Parsha Rishona? Parsha Rishona includes not only the statement of belief of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but it's also the Avas Hashem and Talmud Torah, which are all about the relationship that we are now required to develop as a result of that belief. Now let's go to the next Shita. What's the next Shita? Right? If it's not first Parsha, what's the next step up? Exactly, the second as well, two Parshios. So before we get to the Mekoros, which clearly hold that both Parshios of Shema are D'oraisa, let's take a step back and try to analyze why would that be the case. What did, right, Shai, what's the theme of the second Parsha of Shema? Excellent, Ol Mitzvahs. Where do you get that from? Beautiful. The Mishnah Yud Gimel Min Aleph, when it explains why you do the first Parsha for the second Parsha, it says you're Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim before you're Mekabel Ol Mitzvahs. So it's very clear from the Mishnah Yud Gimel Min Aleph, and the Rambam, again, in Hilchos Kriyat Shema Aleph, Bez also says that the theme of the second Parsha is all about Ol Mitzvos. So once we know that the second Parsha is all about Ol Mitzvos, so we now need to use that theme to explain how the theme of Ol Mitzvos integrates into the Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Yeah.
Could it be that just the second Mitzvah follows Ol Mitzvos, so the second come out by the second Parsha also?
So as we'll see, the raya that they're both d'oraisa could be for the fact that it says of shachal chavak umecha in both partials. The pre chadash spells that out. But the question is, what?
Why wouldn't it be a
separate? Yeah, but no one counts it as two different mitzvahs.
Why?
Because of the following svar. You know, chicken of the egg, right? Because they all see that the theme of Kabbalah's all mitzvahs really is part of what? Part of Kabbalah's all machos shemayim. And what's that idea? Similar to what we were saying before. That once Kabbalah's all machos shemayim is not just, oh, I believe, but it's also includes now the responsibilities you have that result from that belief. So while the earlier shita, which said it's davka parsha rishona, so that shita limited to the particular tzivuyim, which were directly related to your relationship, avas Hashem, talmud Torah. But this mahalach is going to say, no, included within Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim are all mitzvos, which are you are now responsible to keep as a result of that belief. So this mahalach is going to say that the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema includes both the first two parshios, because even the theme of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos integrates into the theme of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, assuming that Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim is not just a declaration of belief, but it also includes now the chiyuvim that devolve upon a person as a result of that belief, and that's clearly captured by the theme of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos, the theme of the second parsha. Yeah, Aaron.
If you see that, how far it would stretch it to also include then, you have to remember, it's also you have to remember then, and
you're saying the third parsha? We'll get there. And you're right. Some Rishonim are going to say that. There is another way to explain the third parsha being Daraisa, but one of them is exactly what you just said. Excellent. But this Malach is going to say, we're going to choose the paragraph of the Hayah, which is all about, right, all mitzvahs, right? Because, how is the second parsha about Kabbalah's all mitzvahs? What does it talk about in the parsha? Exactly. If you keep the mitzvahs, you get a schar, right? You're getting nisati, bitar, tzachem, etc., etc. And it says, if you don't keep the mitzvahs, what's going to happen? You're going to get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So it's a general schar va'onish about, if you keep mitzvahs, schar. If you don't keep mitzvahs, onesh. So that's why that paragraph is characterized by the Mishnah and the Rambam as being all about Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. All. So again, within the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim approach, right? It's right. The reason why it would say that both parshas are included is exactly what we just said. Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim is not just about the belief; it's all about all the chiyuvim, all the mitzvahs that you now have to accept. Within the Talmud Torah approach, it gets a little more complicated. Right, let's say, right, any of the shitos, right, of the Talmud Torah approach are going to say that you require two parshios. So, if you take the first version of the Talmud Torah approach, it's very hard to say this. Because if the first version of the Talmud Torah approach is that you just, to make sure you're learning Torah, it seems very arbitrary to be mechalek between one parsha and two parshios. Meaning, to say, you need one, more than one pasuk, okay, fine. So, you say, you need, the first parsha, not just one pasuk, you need, to say, you davka need two parshios worth of Talmud Torah, and to say that, but one parsha wouldn't fulfill Talmud Torah, that seems like a very arbitrary mechilik in my mind. But if you take the second version of the Talmud Torah approach, that again, it's not just kriyat shema midin Talmud Torah just to make sure you fulfill Talmud Torah, but it's about specifically learning the psukim which contain the theme, which is all about, which highlight this importance of developing a relationship with Hashem. So then you can say along the lines we were saying before that we want you to read the second parsha because it contains the theme of Kabbalah's old mitzvos. And old mitzvos, again, is this way that how do we need to develop our relationship with Hashem? Through keeping the mitzvos, and you can add the other factor that Ben mentioned, the schar va'onish, also comes to play here. And the relationship that we have with Hashem, particularly, what is the schar and onish of the second parsha focused on? If you keep the mitzvos, what's going to happen? You're going to get rewarded where? In Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't keep the mitzvos, what's going to happen? You're going to be banished from Eretz Yisrael. What's unique about Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is the place where we have the closest relationship with Hashem, right? And therefore, it ties in very beautifully. If, of course, especially according to Talmud Torah poetry, you're trying to specifically pick psukim, which highlight our relationship with Hashem, so that the second parsha is a perfect selection, because not only does it highlight Kabbalah's all mitzvos, but it also highlights the schar va'oneh specifically in Eretz Yisrael, that if you want to have that close relationship with Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, keep the mitzvos. But once you stop keeping the mitzvos, and you're going to lose that ability to have that close relationship with Hashem, and therefore you're going to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. So within the Talmud Torah approach, that it's about picking, choosing, right, psukim, which are all about our relationship with Hashem, you can make the taina that we wanted to specifically include the second parsha, because number one includes the relationship through kiyum and mitzvos, and it also has this idea of the schar v'onish, particularly within Eretz Yisrael, that if we want to have that close relationship with Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, we need to keep the mitzvos. Yeah.
According to the first approach, the first version of the Talmud Torah.
Yeah. That is just, Kriya Shema is just a way to make sure you fulfill Talmud Torah.
So why is it arbitrary? The Torah tells you.
Meaning it's arbitrary to say you dafka need two parshios. I know, but why? Like working backwards. Meaning, if you think that the Kriyat Shema is just, oh, make sure you fulfill Talmud Torah, so then really, one pasuk should suffice, honestly. One pasuk of Torah is Talmud Torah. So really, if you held to that first version of the Talmud Torah approach, really it should be limited to one pasuk. Because as long as you do one pasuk, you fulfill Talmud Torah. If you want to stretch it to say that the minimum shear of Talmud Torah is more than one pasuk, okay, first parsha, maybe. But to say, oh, there's shitos which say you specifically need two parshios to be mekayim Talmud Torah, that seems like an arbitrary chilek. You know what I'm saying? That was a hara. Okay, so now let's see, in the last 15 minutes of Shir, let's see the Mekoros, which adopt this version that you need two Parshios of Shema, that both Parshios of Shema are De'oraisa. So who's the Rishon who seems to say this? Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah specifically towards the beginning of the Masechta. It's very important. Let's see that this is inside. So Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Aleph, Vidape Arif, right? Rabbeinu Yonah Daf Aleph Bedape Harif. Again, in the same sugya that Rashi and Tosas and Daf Beis are dealing with, which is, again, if the minog was to, it's the Davin Marav before it says, what are you going to do about the Kiyam Mitzvah's Kriya Shema? In that context, Rabbeinu Yonah seems to have a lot of very revealing lines about the shear of Kriya Shema. And have it? Do you have it or no? Or David, do you have it open? No? Yeah, go for it. Ezra? So you see, Dira Maskwa Elakahu Ha'inyan?
Elakahu Ha'inyan, Shere Beis HaKnesses Yikr Kriyashma in the Hosea Yisfalo, Lo Yechav Latzeis Yidei Chovas Kriyashma Vosa Kriya Ela Lambo Betil Nidol Tiber Torah Yotzi Yidei Kriya Habrachos.
Right, so for life, yeah. Take a look.
Rachar Kishahai Kishiyeh Bebeso Kodim Shiyokal Adar Achar
Right, okay, so we're about to get to the big line. So far, all Rabbeinu Yonah said is the same structure as Rashi. So again, when you're saying Kriyat Shema during Marav before Zman, that's just for this alternative value of Lamo Betzvila Mitoch Divrei Torah. Fine. But in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, like Rashi, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to say you have to repeat Kriyat Shema after Zman. But we're going to see, in stark contrast to Rashi, who says that the Kriyas Parsha Rishona suffices, what does Rabbeinu Yonah say here? The Imlo. Oh, says Rabbeinu Yonah here, that if you only want to read two Parshios, that suffices. So that seems to be a raya, that two Parshios is Mida Orai, is the Shir Mida Orai. So, and again, if you might be a little bothered by, yes, a couple minutes ago, we read Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Tes, who seemed to say that only the first parsha is Daraisa. Just remember, this is Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. So the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah are generally quoting many different shitos. So again, you'll more often find stiros within Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah because he's not always quoting his Rebbe Rabbeinu Yonah. Therefore, so I would just say there are two different deos quoted in Rabbeinu Yonah. On Daf Tes, he was quoting the shita that the first parsha is Daraisa. Perhaps maybe Dafka Bedas Harif there. That's what he's dealing with. You could just say that. He does have the Raya from Yud Gimel also, but it could be that that's the Raya for the Rif. Again, so it could be the easiest way to say it is on Daf Tes, Bedav Arif, he's just explaining Bedas Harif. Here, Rabbeinu Yonah maybe is Das Atmo, right, is Rabbeinu Yonah himself, where he's focusing on that the two partios suffice. Fine. And he then goes on to explain that why don't you need to repeat the third parsha, because third parsha is also Da'oraisa for Zechiyas Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that is a different shir, right? Because he goes into the fact that Zechira, the third parsha, which is Da'oraisa, but that's not Midin Kriya Shema, that's Midin Zechiyas Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is a different Zman, and therefore for that you don't need to repeat after Tzeis, that suffices to do it after Shkia. Now skip, this is a very important lashon towards the end of Rabbeinu Yonah that I have you see. See in the Oz B'Hadar, Ezra, you see, starts with Birchas HaMolech.
Yeah. L'Birchas HaMolech, the word about Sukim Sha'omer and B'Lachash, Eino Lachash, Shazah, Eino Elamino, Kedava, Eino Mamim HaLakaron.
Fine, and you don't have to worry about repeating that, because, fine. Now, here's the key. Hilkach.
Hilkach, Kori, Kriyash Ma'am, Vesa, Knesset, Yimatsi, Vavriach, Hasel, Mishvala, Yimon, Ve'ino Kor, Ve'kavanas, Vaseis, Vo'yidei, Yechovas, Kriyash Ma'am.
Right. So in davening, you're going to go through Birchos Kriyat Shema and Shema. He says specifically best to have in mind when saying Kriyat Shema not to be Yotzei the Mitzvah Daraisa, because you're not going to be. Oh, Va'achar.
Va'achar. Tzeis ha'kochavim kodim shiyo hol kori Kriyat Shema kula. Olav ha'kos ha'shtei parshuos shebehen ol ma'achus shemayim ve'ol mitzvah.
Very important, right? So here he says, right, you can read all of it, might as well, but the minimum is, right, Olav ha'kos Shnei Parshios, because again, Lashitaso, that is the minimum shear. And very important, here in this line, he says, why is it two Parshios? Because the two themes, Shebehen O Malchus Shemayim, and O Mitzvos. But let's look a little further. The Omer... Fine, that's a separate cheetah. You do need some type of Berchus Kriyat Shema, fine. But now he says, and by the way, when you're reading it, what should you have kavana for? Kabbalas, Ol Malchus Shemayim. What does he leave out? Ol Mitzvos. What's the answer based on everything we're saying?
Including.
Exactly. At first glance, it seems like a stira. First, he says, there are two themes here. Kabbalas, Ol Malchus Shemayim, and Ol Mitzvos. But then he says, you only need kavana for Kabbalas, Ol Malchus Shemayim. Why don't you need kavana, Kabbalas, Ol Mitzvos? This is a riot to what we're saying, and this is what we're saying to Eliyahu before, why it's not two different mitzvahs. It's not two different mitzvahs because, according to Rabbeinu Yonah and Nishita, the theme of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs integrates into the Yisod, into the din of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. And the idea is, like we said before, that the idea of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim is not just declaring your belief, but it's also declaring that once I believe in God and Yichud Hashem, I now have to now keep all the responsibilities, all the mitzvahs that now, you know, result from that belief. So I think it's very meduyuk in this Rabbeinu Yonah that after mentioning both Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, he then only repeats Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim because that's really the overarching din, and Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos is really just a detail that integrates into Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Good. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah. So again, so the first raya, at least as far as I know, the only raya in the Rishonim, that it, the shear of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriyat Shema is two partials, is this Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Aleph, Bidape Harif. Now we have two Achronim who also seem to accept this. Who are those Achronim? Anyone get to this? The Prichadash. So let's look at the Prichadash. Prichadash, the long Arichos, again, accepts this idea that the Mitzvah D'Oraisa includes both partials. Okay. Yehuda, okay, would you mind? Okay, very right. So again, the Prichodesh right off the bat. Right, again, I skipped the earlier parts. He quotes the other shitas of Pasuk Rishon. He brings some of the rayas. He quotes the other shita of Parsha Rishon. Quotes Rishona, I should say. He quotes some of the rayas. Then he says, the one that he accepts is this idea that it's both partials. And Eliyahu was saying before, right, what's the indication from the psukim to this shita? What does it say in both partials? Right, so again, I think he says that somewhere, right, that the raya to this idea that both parshas are deraisa, because it says in both of them a version of the dibar tabam slash ladaber bam, B'shachbacha uvkumecha. Since it says that, and that's the pasuk, which is the tzivoy of Kriyat Shema, it says it by both of these partials, so that is at least the raya from the psukim, that it is, that both are midorais. The Pichadash goes on a longer richos to bring various rayos from Gemaras to this idea. So let's look at we're going to just focus on some of them. Where am I? Okay, let's skip a little bit, Yehuda, to the third page of the Marmakomos. You see in the second paragraph there, there are three dots, and it says, V'od kin muchach.
Yeah.
So again, I just wanted to just identify three of the, the strongest rayos that the Pre-Chadash brings from Gemaras that prove that Kriyat Shema De'oraisa includes both parshios. Ah, this is V'od. Okay. So he doesn't really spell it out so much, but I think you and your chavrusa were mechaving to this, right? What's the raya here? Because what type of hefsek is he talking about? It's clear from the Shachar Torah we're talking about a hefsek within the mitzvah d'oraisa, because that's the whole kal v'chomer. But if we're talking about, but it's also clear, right, that we're talking about a hefsek of bein. Exactly, bein aprakim. So wait a second, right? So put two and two together, right? If we're talking about a hefsek of bein aprakim, and the hefsek of bein aprakim is a hefsek d'oraisa, so at minimum, what needs to be d'oraisa? You need both prakim to be d'oraisa. You need both parshas to be d'oraisa. Because if it's that, like Shagas Aryeh was assuming that's the hefsek, you know, in the middle of the first parsha of Shema, that's not a hefsek of bein aprakim. So if you assume, right, it seems to be the pashas that the hefsek in the Gemara there is bein aprakim, right? And the Gemara calls that hefsek bein aprakim to be d'oraisa. So that means you need both parshas to be d'oraisa. So raya number one that the Pre-Chadash brings, that both partials are d'oraisa, is that Gemara in Yudalid, again, which is assuming that there's a hefsek d'oraisa bein aprakim, assuming that both partials are d'oraisa. That's raya number one. Oh. Oh, this is very important. So what does the Gemara ask? Partial sitzis b'pnei ma kavua b'kriya shema. That, what's very important, the Lashem. B'nei ma kavua, who is that referring to? Who's the, who is the Chachamim, right? Rabbim, right? The Gemara there asked, why are the Chachamim koveya, the third Parsha, in Kriyat Shema? Exactly, Medillo. Exactly. So Raya number two, the fact that the Gemara only asked why the Chachamim were Koveya, the third Parsha, that sounds like the other two Parshios are D'oraisa. So again, Raya number one of the Pre-Chadash is the Gemara in Yudalit. Raya number two, this is the one that we're focusing on, is the Gemara in Yudbeis Amidbeis, the fact that the Gemara used the Lashon of the Chachamim specifically in regards to the third Parsha. Masha, the first two Parshios are D'oraisa. Yeah.
I mean,
not that it's d'oraisa.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. You could have said that. You could say that. You're right. I still think. I think the Pre-Chadash is right. The pashas of this Gemara is like this. But you're right. How are you gonna explain that according to the other shittos? You have to say something like Gabriel was saying. Excellent. Let's skip a little bit. Further down, last word in line is va'od. See, after the period. See, va'od raya. This is the raya from the Mishnah you're giving Lomanah.
Yeah. Va'od
Right. So, what is he saying? Right. The Mishnah Yugimlam and Aleph is asking the Seder Harparshios, and it asks why does the Parsha of Shema come before the Parsha of Ahaya? So, what does the Mishnah answer, Yehuda? But now the Pre-Chadash is saying, but if only Parsha Rishon was Daraisa, what would have been the obvious answer? Daraisa comes before Derabanan. Excellent.
So why didn't the Gemara say that?
Oh, he asked that question himself. Okay, continue. Elal korchach. Oh, now I was going to ask Ben's question. Right, the implicit kasha is, what do you mean? Even the Pri Chadash admits that the third parsha is not in Kriyat Shema. What is it? What is the answer? It is the Oraisa. Right? It's the Oraisa midin Zechiras Yisias Mitzrayim. Exactly. So basically now, according to the Pri Chadash, the mission makes sense. All three parshas are the Oraisa. First two parshas are the Oraisa midin Mitzvahs Kriyat Shema. Third parsha is the Oraisa midin Yitzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, the whole Mishnah's questions now make sense since they're all Oraisa. That's not a variable. So now, what's the reason for each for the Seder? And the Mishnah gives its reasons. Excellent. So the Pri Chadash again has all these rayos, to support this the Rabbeinu Yonah that both Parshios are Oraisa. Last Achron, not sure if everyone got to this, but the last Achron who also holds this is the Netziv. Right, the Netziv in Merom Yisadeh. Merom Yisadeh is the Netziv's Perush Alashas. And Merom Yisadeh is going to bring a Raya, very similar to one of the Rayas of the Pri Chadash, which is, it's a little stronger, as you see in a moment, because he's going to prove that it's Bein HaPrakim. Mayor, want to go for it? You see the Merom Yisadeh? It's very important. Right? He picks up an idea that Rashi, right, when Rashi is explaining what the Gemara's question is about, Rashi says, L'she'ilos shalom, which means just stop saying hi. So it's clear from the earlier Brisa that you could only have She'ilos shalom when? Bein HaProket. Right? You can never have She'ilos shalom. Right, so the Merom, again, the Pri Chodesh's Raya from Yudalad was assuming that the Gemara is talking about Bein HaProkim. But he never really proved how we know that the question is about Bein HaProkim. The Netziv adds, how do we know that it's Bein HaProkim? Because Rashi says that the question is all about She'ilos Shalom, right? And the Braisa right before made it very clear that the only time you have a heter to be mafsik mishum She'ilos Shalom, right, is Bein HaProkim. So again, now we have a raya. Once the Gemara is talking about a hefsik d'oraisa Bein HaProkim, you must have two partials which are d'oraisa to therefore have the hefsik in between them be d'oraisa as well. Yeah.
I don't understand the
Shalom
also. You could do.
The Lashon of She'ilos Shalom, meaning there is Shoel Mipnei Hayira, Mipnei Hayira, the Shoel Mipnei HaKavod, and then the She'ilos Shalom. Which is just stop saying hello. See, like Rabbi Yehuda says. What? Yeah, look at Rash, look at Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Emsa Shoel Mipnei Hayira, Umesh Mipnei HaKavod, Ubiprakim Shaul of Nea covered, Umeshiv Shalom Lechol Adam. Yeah. That's Shastam. Umeshiv Shalom Lechol Adam. You can say that for not covered reasons. I mean, that's non covered, non Yira.
So She'ilos Shalom.
So yeah, Rashi is
responding to
somebody. Exactly. Shastam She'ilos Shalom. That's what the Netziv is assuming. Okay? So we'll stop here, but this is, because we have the Rabbi Yonah, Pri Chadash and Merom Yisrael, saying the two partials. Tomorrow we'll see the Shittos who say all three partials and what the pshat is there.